Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and ladies and gentlemen, I've created what I call the super cool indicator for our Brain Trust members, and that's where you combine smartness and savviness and also how cool they are. Put all that together, and you come up with an indicator, and we attribute that scale to everybody on our Brain Trust. And one of the people in our Brain Trust that just goes off the chart when we calculate her super cool level is our guest this half hour, Grace Marie Turner, the president of the Galen Institute, one of the world's experts in healthcare public policy, but more importantly, she's our good friend. Grace Marie, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you. I like that indicator. Thank you.
Yeah, you're super
That's
cool.
Funny. That's great.
Hey, Grace Marie, I'm glad you're back because you and I have been talking about this for a long time, the importance of getting the tax policy and the public policy issues with regard to healthcare brought into the 21st century to create some kind of products and resources for healthcare that actually somewhat fit the way people work today. And we've got that finally. We're lurching sort of uncontrollably toward that. With the medical savings accounts, which now have been replaced with health savings accounts, and which is very important that we have these. And what I wanted you to do today was to give us another installment on how these things work, because I fear that they might actually be unsuccessful because of the misinformation that's out there.
Well, I think that's so right, Jim. Small business people really get it about getting the incentives right. You know, you've got to sell a product that people want to buy. You've got to be able to put something out there that gets people to do the right thing so you can build your business. And with healthcare, so often we've gotten the incentives wrong. When we looked at managed care, for example, back in the 1990s, the incentives were for the health plan to deny people care in order to save money. Well, clearly there was a huge backlash against that. And now we have a new tool that I think provides people an option that puts employers and employees on the same side in wanting to utilize health care services wisely and make economical use of those services. And health savings accounts are that new option. They were enacted as part of the Medicare bill and became law on January 1 of this year. So they're very new. What, it's just not even 4 months mm-hmm. of experience yet with these new products. And essentially what they do is allow employers to put employers or individuals, small business people, whoever, anybody who wants to do this is under age 65, to put money in a very highly tax-preferred account to have available for health expenditures that you want to control, and then be able to make sure you also have protection against catastrophic health events like cancer or any major surgery, hip replacement surgery that you need, to make sure insurance is there for those expensive things. The accounts, the health savings accounts, and that's really what Congress created when it created the law, are unique in the 47,000 pages of tax law, in that the money that goes into these accounts is tax deductible, the earnings are not taxed, and the expenditures aren't taxed as long as the money is spent on health care. And there's nothing like that. Even with an IRA or a 401k, you've got to pay the money when you spend it. Mm-hmm. When you've got to pay the taxes when you take the money out. Not now. It's really very tax.
And that's what makes it different. And folks, to make sure we've got everybody on the same page. An HSA, if you take advantage of the full package, it has two components. One is an insurance component, and the other is an investment component.
That's right. You can't do the account unless you have the insurance.
Right, exactly. But so you've always been able to buy a high deductible insurance program, but now you can actually, if you have a $5,000 deductible or a $1,000, you can go as low as $1,000 annual deductible, you can put that same amount of money in an investment account. So really, even though we're calling it self-insurance, Grace Marie, the truth is it kind of isn't, because the money that you would have spent is over there in the investment account.
Exactly right. And it's money that you very likely would have sent to the insurance company.
That's right.
It's money that you've saved by having lower premiums on the catastrophic. People know with their car insurance that if you're able to tolerate a higher deductible, then your premiums will be a little lower. You say you want a $250 deductible, your premiums are gonna be whatever it takes to make sure that, the insurance company is whole. Well, the same thing's true with health insurance. If you have a $1,000 deductible instead of a $250 or $500 deductible, the premiums are going to be cheaper, and then you can put that savings into the account. And really, not only do you have the control over that money, but you have an opportunity for savings, because unlike the current this whole alphabet soup flexible spending accounts that where employees can set some of their pay aside on a tax preferred basis into a flexible spending or Section 10/25 cafeteria plan, that money is use it or lose it. If you don't spend it by the end of the year, it's gone. With health savings accounts, it rolls over forever.
And it's yours, and it can be bequeathed.
You own it.
You can give it to your heirs.
Absolutely, you can take it with you from year to year. Mm-hmm. If you can will it to your spouse when you die, on a tax preferred basis. But if your kids, if you give it to your kids, they have to pay the taxes.
But they get the money though. I mean, the difference is that in the other way, the way I've been paying for health care for the last decades, has been that I've been paying a higher premium. I'm thank God I've been a healthy person, and I still say, if I'd had HSAs 30 years ago, I'd have a couple $100,000 in the bank right now.
Absolutely right. And in fact, there have been some actuarial analyses of people. This is obviously something very valuable for people who are younger, because the time value of money, they can save this money longer.
But Grace Marie, hold on to that thought. When we come back, folks, we're going to give you a website that you can go to that I think will help you find some insurance companies that will help you with HSAs. And I'm going to ask Grace Marie about some of the myths that are popping up about HSAs. And that's coming up right after these messages. Grace Marie Turner is our guest. She's with the Galen Institute. That's galen.org. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our website is www.jbsba.com. That stands for Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. That's our acronym, jbsba.com. It's the short one, so you don't have to type so many letters. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Grace Marie Turner, ladies and gentlemen, is a longtime friend of ours, a staunch supporter of all the things that you and I do. She just cares so much about small businesses. It comes across in everything she does and says, because everything that she's working for as the president of the Galen Institute to get healthcare reforms and Grace Marie, God bless you for all the hard work you've done. I know that where we are right now with HSAs is due at least in part to your efforts to get this debate going on making some sense out of healthcare and the tax policy. And I want to thank you for the part that you played in making these available.
Well, aren't you nice? We were a little merry band of people about 10 or 12 years ago talking about consumer-directed health care and free market ideas during the height of the Clinton health care battles, and people thought we were nuts, and now we finally have really some great tools to work with. And it is, you're absolutely right, it's great tools for small business. They're always the cutting edge. They're having to take risks. They're having to try out the new things, and always close to the margin. I know, because I am a small businesswoman.
Absolutely.
And you've got to really, I run a nonprofit, but it's just, you still got to
Jill, have to make payroll on Friday, don't you?
That's right. Still have to make the barrel.
Speaking of which, is the Galen Institute. Tell us a little bit about it and give us the website.
We're a not-for-profit public policy research organization. What we do is try to cook up ideas and sell ideas about how to promote free market health reform. And we give lots of speeches, and we do newsletters also, which people are very welcome to sign up for. And if they'd like to do that, our website is on the World Wide Web at galen.org. And there's also a lot of information on our website about health savings accounts.
And you can also sign up for their newsletter, which they distribute, which I recommend you do. And also you can download or buy the Empowering Healthcare Consumers Through Tax Reform book that Grace Marie edited. There was a lot of important information by a number of other articles. You know, Grace Marie, you were talking about being a nonprofit. There are small business owners out there who are not structured like your company, who can identify with being a nonprofit. In fact, I can remember those days.
Yes, indeed.
Grace Marie, there are a lot of myths out there right now about HSAs. What are some of those myths, and how do we debunk some of them?
Well, a lot of people who believe, especially those who believe that the solution to all our health care problems is for government to take it over, are saying that health savings accounts are bad because they're only for the healthy and wealthy, that only young people and people who don't really have any health expenditures are going to sign up for health savings accounts, and it's going to destabilize the pool for everybody else. And it's just not true. We did a briefing in February, and we invited vendors to tell us the experience with who's signing up for health savings accounts and other kind of consumer-directed products. And it tends to be people who are a little older, who are a little sicker, people who have experience with the healthcare system, and who want more control over their decisions. And they're finding that health savings accounts allow them that control, and at the same time, we're finding that they're still saving money in their accounts. People were also worried, well, people won't get their preventive tests, they won't get their mammograms, they won't go in for their colorectal tests, their screenings. We're finding, because of the way the legislation was structured, that they're 30 to 60% more likely to do preventive health care services. Mm-hmm. So you really do wind up with a lot of the positive things that you want to happen. People getting the care they need, saving money, getting care more efficiently, asking questions, they're more likely to be taking generics rather than brand name drugs because they can see that, you know, if a generic is going to be just as good for them, why should they not save that money and have it available either that year for other health expenditures or the following year? So a lot of the myths that people think would be true about these products aren't true. And one company that we visited called Luminos, which is actually in Old Town Alexandria, where we have our offices, says that they are very aggressive about helping patients with high risks and chronic illnesses manage their care better. And they're finding that they can help companies save money by working closely with the people who have diabetes, who are obese, mm-hmm. who children have asthma, giving them a little coaching before they go into the doctor, calling them up after the doctor's appointment to find out what they tell you and how do we help you comply. They're helping companies reduce cost by getting people better care. Now, isn't that something that we really want to encourage in the healthcare system?
Absolutely. I want to, Grace Marie, I also want to mention a website that I think maybe you've told me about. Did you tell me about eHealth.com?
eHealthinsurance.com.
Okay, yeah, or actually, if you type eHealth.com, it'll get there. But eHealthinsurance.com, tell us what that's about.
That's actually an online health insurance broker started by Vit Patel out in the Silicon Valley. It's one of the few dot-coms that succeeded in the late 1990s.
Right.
But he said, you know, people are going to want to buy health insurance online, so I'm going to link up with all the brokers. They don't sell products. They link you to people that sell them in your area. So you put in your zip code, and then they tell you what's going to be available in your part of the world.
Right.
It's a great brokerage.
It really is. And it's also a great place to get educated a little bit more, too, about HSAs.
Yes,
eHealthinsurance.com is that website. But don't forget to check out Grace Marie's website, which is Galen, G-A-L-E-N, gracemarieturner.org. Grace Marie, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Grace Marie Turner, 29 After. I'll be right back with Skip Miller.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.